And on item 14, I have a note that the speaker had to leave by 4.
Dave, thank you.
We're okay.
I appreciate you guys taking the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
He's in the back row.
But it says he has to leave at 4:30.
But he's here.
And it's 4:15. So my question is, can we do this in 15 minutes?
Yeah. We'll let him.
Yes.
Yeah, let him.
That's right.
Sure. So this is item 14, and Mark Silberstein. Correct?
Pretty close.
That's good. Mark Silberstein. National Estuary Research.
It's either
Thank you. I apologize that I'm going to have to leave in 15 minutes. I've got a couple of school boys, and you don't want to leave them roaming around the streets of Santa Cruz. Thanks for giving me a few minutes on the agenda today. A lot of you have been out to Elkhorn Slough, and I appreciate the time you spent there. I asked Bruce Delgado, what should I talk about today? And he said, about 15 minutes. I'm going to try to do this in a shorter amount of time. Now, can you see these images on your screens? Mm-hmm. I wanted to just give a brief thumbnail. We've talked about some of these things when you've visited the slough, and Mr. Young pointed out that he's seen some of these images before. I'm going to add some new ones for you, some nice colorful maps, so just so there's something something new to look forward to. In 2000, 2001, the regional board reviewed the permitting of a construction of a new power plant at Moss Landing. After the deregulation of the power industry, Duke Energy bought the Moss Landing power generating station and proposed to build a new plant, which ultimately you permitted. The impacts included taking in of seawater for the cooling system and the consequent loss of larvae and biological productivity in the system. And so the regional board said the mitigation is going to have to improve the health and productivity of Elkhorn Slough to offset that loss. The regional board and the Energy Commission approached the Elkhorn Slough Foundation, which was really beginning work as a land trust, and had developed a watershed conservation plan with the Nature Conservancy. And the board approached the foundation and said, would you help us offset these impacts? And so that's what I want to give you a little update on. This is this was the document that was produced and approved by the board back in 2002. And this really laid out an approach that would offset, again, these impacts. And the approach understood that a lot of the production in Elkhorn Slough that was being lost was generated by the wetland acreage around the slough. And so the construct that the board developed in order to get at the cost of mitigation said, for this many larvae, here's how many acres of wetlands it would take, here's how much that would cost. That was the investment that was made. The plan called for direct restoration of wetlands where that was possible. It called for the amelioration of impacts to the wetlands. So we see in Elkhorn Slough, and I'll show you some images of some extraordinary erosion. I mean, I put this image in as a proxy for all the extraordinary biological diversity that Elkhorn Slough harbors. So I could spend more than 15 minutes showing you images of remarkable wildlife and tremendous concentrations, but this is a proxy. Otters are cute and fuzzy. And since so many of the board members are cute and fuzzy, I thought, well, let's put this in. You can cheer you on.
You're so kind.
Needless to say, Elkhorn Slough is one of those remarkable places on the coast that harbors really extraordinary life. Elkhorn Slough historically also harbored a lot of what I would consider marginal farms, so worn-out sandhill farms that over decades had been contributing to degradation of water quality by erosion and runoff. What was then the predecessor of Natural Resource Conservation Service, the then Soil Conservation Service, prompted by Monterey County in 1983 did a study in these hills, in the Strawberry Hills of Elkhorn Slough. They measured the highest rates of erosion anywhere west of the Mississippi River, up to, on the average, 33 tons per acre per year. And this image shows you what happens when there was a blowout in the hills. And, of course, these materials coming off the hills wind up in the slough, sediment and the associated chemistry. This was, I'm sad to say, a fairly common scene around Elkhorn Slough in the 1980s. Some of the consequences, and this is, I think, the image that Mr. Young, you've seen before, shows before and after the El Nino, I think in 97, showing the quantity of sediment that came down Carnos Creek after the big El Nino year. That is one of the NRCS agents. He's about 6'3", and you can see the quantity of sediment that came down and filled in the creek. So this is not good for habitat, not good for water quality. The plan, the mitigation plan that the board approved, allowed for and promoted purchase and fee acquisition of lands or easements that would reduce that erosion and that would improve water quality. And so I will just kind of do a quick fast forward. When the plan was approved, the protected lands around Elkhorn Slough were shown in this map. And so over the course of some close to 20 years, almost 30 years, there had been a series of acquisitions, including the National Estuarine Research Reserve, the Nature Conservancy lands in the upper end of that image, and the Elkhorn Slough Foundation had done some preliminary acquisitions. At the end of the implementation of the plan, and actually as we continue moving forward, this is what's been added to the slough, these protected lands. And I want to share with you the role that the funding, the mitigation funds that came through the this permit process led to some I think, very positive improvements. This is an image looking out towards Monterey Bay from Elkhorn Slough. One of the projects that we worked on with the state was the acquisition of a ranch on the left side of this photograph. And you see that little green buffer. That's a buffer that was established subsequent to the acquisition of this land. And I certainly agree with Abby that buffers aren't a panacea for everything. But we were able to measure the positive effect of buffer strips in trapping both sediment and trapping and transforming nutrients between cultivated fields and waterways. And so we implemented that, and here's an example of one. I think you may have seen this image before. Before we began, certain of the farms around the slough on high tide during the rainy season would be underwater, so you would have a little fish swimming around the berries. This is a great way to deliver nutrients to an estuarine system. We said, let's buffer it. And one of the interesting aspects of this work is that the farmer who decided to lease this land said, I will not cultivate that land. You shouldn't be growing there. You shouldn't be cultivating too close to the wetlands. And so this was really driven by conversations with, I think, very progressive farm folk. This is, again, one of the things we've seen throughout this watershed. This was one of the old worn-out sandhill farms that was abandoned, but that continued to shed sediment into the slough. And so with support from the mitigation fund, we were able to recontour these and repair these gullies that were chronic sources of erosion and sedimentation. This is an aerial image showing the whole upper part of the slough, the northern area of the slough, and the encompassing the main drainage, Carneros Creek, that comes into Elkhorn Slough. We wound up purchasing close to 2,500 acres in this northern area, lands that had been identified by the Soil Conservation Service and by the county as being poorly managed and contributing to the degradation that I mentioned. This outline shows when we began the historic extent of cultivation on these steep slopes. We thought it was absolutely critical to keep productive lands in production. And so we said, we're going to find a sustainable farm footprint here. and we wound up reducing cultivation by taking all these steep slopes out. What was left are what we believe are sustainable farm footprints. These have all been converted to organic production, and they're being leased out to farmers in the area. And I think, again, demonstrating that it's possible to do cultivation in a sensitive conservation area. You need to pay attention to it. We put in catch basins. We implemented a lot of the best management practices recommended by the Natural Resource Conservation Service, and this is an example of one of the farms that benefited from that work. And I think one of the other things that was really interesting, and I think when those of you who were able to tour the slough, I believe we visited this site. This is on property close to Castroville along Morro Coho Slough. We looked at the historic aerial photos of this land. It was wetland. It was tidal marsh. And the farmers in the 30s and 40s worked incredibly hard, applying the best wisdom of the time, to turn what they considered to be worthless land into productive farmland. They did that after extraordinary labor, ditched and drained these lands and turned them into farmland. What they learned is that it's not very good farmland. It's clay soils, it floods. It turned out to be not very productive for their labor. They had essentially abandoned cultivation, but every year would disc it to keep the weeds down. And so every year, this close to 200 acres was bare dirt. Didn't have a lot of habitat value. I'm a biologist. I like things with wings and legs and fins. The farm family agreed to sell this property to the foundation with some of these mitigation funds. We stopped pumping it. It became a wetland. I'm happy to say 10 years later is an extraordinary habitat. The researchers who've been working there have identified 150 species of birds moving through this system and using it. The extraordinary thing about this, and I think what we look for, and I think what you look for in your work, is finding these zones of convergence. So here was a place that was of no use to the farm. At the point that it was being disced, it was of no use to habitat. It was essentially no use to the hydraulic system either. This system now, and I think I will show you some images in a bit, very effectively traps and transforms nitrate coming off farm fields. So we've been able to measure a significant reduction in nutrients, and I'll show you a graph of that. This image shows a portion of Carneros Creek, the main drainage into Elkhorn Slough, that green band that kind of wiggles through the upper quarter of the photo is the riparian quarter, about a mile-long stretch of Carneros Creek. This was a farm property that the Elkhorn Slough Foundation put an easement on. It's owned by the Agricultural Land-Based Training Association, a farmer training center, training farmers in sustainable farm practice. The terms of the easement that we purchased called for the reduction of steep slopes, taking those out of production, and restoring some of the floodplains that had been cultivated and turned into wetlands. And so you'll see in this photograph, this was farmland that is now wetland, the floodplain of Carneros Creek. And so those same functions of trapping and transforming nutrients, of trapping sediment, is in place here and can essentially scrub properties above that. The ALBA, our partner, decided to enhance the habitats that they had restored and built some ponds for amphibians. And, you know, for those of us who are biologists and love these little creepy crawlies, this was an extraordinary result. They built this pond, and the next year, both California tiger salamanders, one of the listed species, and Santa Cruz long-tailed salamanders. And I know you're all going to cheer about that. But for folks who are biologists, that's extraordinary. Now, what does that mean from a water board's perspective? Those animals require clean water. I mean, they can't live in water that doesn't provide for their needs. So, you know, again, this isn't, for me, an example of converging interests. This is the image I was going to show you of the Morro Coho property. You see M1, M2, M3. There's a gradient, so water flows from M1 to M3. And if you look at the graph to the left, it shows the reduction in nitrate coming in from the farm fields at M1 as it flows through this now new wetland and reducing nitrate to below any critical levels. I think the same thing in the upper part of the slough. Earlier today, Nicole Beck spoke with you. She actually did her dissertation work in the upper part of Elkhorn Slough, and her work stimulated us to tackle working on some of these farms and putting in buffers. And these graphs, you know, particularly the upper right, shows the reduction in ammonia after we had put these buffers in. Phosphate, you can see the reduction. Turbidity and nitrate, less so in this particular system, but nonetheless, effectively improving water quality. So I wanted to come back and report to you. It's been more than a decade since you approved this plan. One of the things that we agreed to was that we could use the money that the regional board allocated to leverage other funds. And this was turned out to be a very critical and valuable piece. The original fund was $5 million directed to conservation and mitigation by the Regional Board and the Energy Commission. $2 million was set aside as a stewardship endowment, understanding that you can't simply buy a piece of land and walk away. It requires active management if it's going to be healthy. So the stewardship fund was to provide some kind of annual revenue. To date, we leveraged that money to well over $30 million in investments in directly purchasing lands. $10 million in restoration. I mean, that's ongoing. We're doing some marsh restoration in Elkhorn Slough right now, but that I consider to be part of this trajectory that was initiated by the board when you approved this mitigation plan. I'm pleased to report that the endowment has grown to $3.25 million. And it stimulated the Elkhorn Slough Foundation board to establish their own endowment, which is now $2.5 million. So, you know, we're approaching $6 million in invested funds that generate conservation dollars every year. Over 3,200 acres have been acquired. We've transferred 300 of those acres to public agencies. The Nature Conservancy transferred their land to the Elkhorn Slough Foundation, 800 acres. 140 acres have been converted to organic production, over 100 acres of buffers, and an estimated retention or reduction of over 16,000 tons of sediment that used to flow into the slough every year, now on the hills where it should be. Finally, I will end with a couple of thoughts. In our quest to keep productive lands productive, but to address the serious issues of degradation of water quality and habitat that we had seen, we retired as much as 600 acres of steep hillsides that had been historically cultivated. That's approaching 2,000 acre feet of water a year that's being left in the ground that used to be pumped out every year, 2,000 acre feet of water. That's extraordinary. Somebody earlier, one of the earlier speakers, talked about the cone of depression. And that's not what happens when I eat too much chocolate cake. But we are really overdrafting the area, the Los Lomas area and the upper part of Elkhorn Slough. So 2,000 acre feet of water, based on the 1995 hydrogeologic study that the county did, that's approaching half, 50% of what they had calculated the overdraft for that part of our region. So to me, that is kind of an adjunct or an ancillary consequence of the mitigation, but something I think that's significant. And as the board thinks ahead, looks ahead, and looks at other mitigation projects, I think this is another convergence that we might want to think about. You know, I think I want to wind up with this thought. I consider this a successful endeavor. It took us a little longer than we thought, but I think we've really been transforming this important coastal environment. And here's some of the things I think that were critical. There was a sound plan built by many stakeholders. The board staff was deeply involved in that. The mitigation fund was provided in a single lump sum, which was extraordinarily powerful. It's almost magnetic. We were able to go to other funders and say, here's what we've got. You know, let's match that. Immediately it was matched by $9 million and ultimately $30 million. One of the keys was that the regional board allowed us flexibility in the use of funds, both for acquisition and for restoration and stewardship. That wound up being very important because the work had to be done one way or another. We were able to bring in other funds to do the acquisitions and use some of the mitigation funds to take care of the restoration and the management work. This fund also allowed us to cover transaction costs. When we're working with Coastal Conservancy, for example, we've got to raise the money for the appraisals, for the phase one. It's hard to find that money that essentially salts the pot. So that was a key. The ability to use matching funds for other sources, and this was a very big challenge, but we were able to get other agencies, and I think it was in part because the board granted us this large pot. We got other agencies to agree that the projects would be pooled. So instead of having to match 50-50 on every single transaction, we could say, we're going to use all of your money on one transaction. But when the game is over, you will not have spent more than a third of the total cost. It wound up being a seventh of the total cost. So I think those were powerful lessons that we learned about doing these kinds of projects. And I think I'll just leave you with this image. You know, I think that the work and the approval by the board really triggered what I believe is a transformation of a watershed. We're seeing a lot of positive progress. And I think, again, these principles of converging interests where you have overlapping interests and can generate cooperation is really critical. So I thank you. Thank you for your time. I thank you particularly for coming out and visiting. And I know that takes a lot of your time. For board members who haven't had a chance to visit Elkhorn Slough, let me extend that invitation. Happy to show you around. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. And also thank you for your flexibility in accommodating our agenda today. Board members, any question, comment?
I just want to say thank you, Mark, to give kudos to your staff, your research staff, your land steward staff, your tidal wetland staff. They all have done such a great job over the decades. It's a real testament to your leadership.
It's a privilege to work with good folks. You know that, too, for the staff that you have. So thank you.
And I want to thank you, too, because it's always so nice to have such a positive presentation which shows something being done that generates positive results for protection of beneficial uses and water quality.
Yeah.
So it's heartwarming.
Well, I appreciate that. Make no mistake, there's still a long way to go. We have a lot of challenges in water quality. The old Salinas River Channel is delivering serious lows, and we're working on that. But I think the way that we've been effective so far is by taking a collaborative, cooperative approach. And so we'll report back to you, hopefully in less than 10 years, on continued progress.
I think when we took our field trip out there at one point, and I don't think it was to your offices, might have been that same trip, but we actually took a walk out on part of the slough itself. Is that the same trip?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Wasn't there a lot of ulva, you know, the bright green
algae?
Yeah,
that's right.
So, I mean, that's problematic still.
Yeah. I mean, we still see certain areas are very
invasive.
Eutrophic in Elkhorn Slough,
right.
And nutrient levels are high. So we're working on it. But thanks very much. I really appreciate your time and your interest.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, so.
Do you have any other speaker cards, like for the executive director's report, anything?
Nope.
Okay, all right. So I also want to, I will send a thank you to the principal speakers for being flexible today and helping us get out 2 hours earlier than predicted. So we really appreciate that, and thank you all for your flexibility. I know it at times seemed rushed, but it was kind of a hectic schedule to try to fit into one day. So I thank you for that.
All right. So this should conclude our items, correct,
yes,
Mr.
Sir.
Harris? And
about 17.
Item 17. We
unless you have questions, we went over that during the briefings.
Correct.
Okay. And so.
Yeah, that's why we did
right,
address
we,
that
right.
in the briefing.
We
so
didn't
we
think there'd be time
today.
For it, so we did. We dealt with it during the briefings.
So we have covered all the items. So
yes.
At this time, I would like to conclude our meeting of 30 September 24th, 2015, and it is 4:45. Thank you very much.